We're going to be in 2 Peter, chapter 3. Appreciate Pastor Paul wrapping up 2 Peter chapter 2 for us, looking at the false prophets. So now we're in the last chapter of this particular letter, okay? I know I've mentioned my reoccurring dream about being late to church that I have about two or three times a year. I never told you about another reoccurring dream that I have as well. About two, three, four times a year, I dream that I have hair again. It's thick and wavy, and I'm combing it in the mirror. I hate that dream. I hate it because it reminds me of that which I'm already aware of, and I really not like not to think about it. There's things like that that we're fully aware of, and we really don't want the reminder. We haven't truly forgotten about it. We just don't need to be mindful of it. But then there are other reminders, aren't there? There's reminders of other things that we've truly not forgotten about, but remembering them fires us up once again, such as whatever I will look like for eternity and glory, I won't be marred by the effects of sin. Now, isn't that a good reminder when your body is just giving you fits in this life? Knowing that whatever you're dealing with, it's just a matter of years versus a perfect body for all eternity. Now, you knew that, didn't you? I didn't just tell you anything you don't already know. But boy, that reminder can get you going and keep you going. And you need reminders of what you already know from time to time. Well, you know, that's point number one here in 2 Peter 3:1-2. What you need from time to time, and that is a reminder. You need a reminder from time to time. He says in verse 1, "Beloved, I now write to you this second epistle." The word epistle just means a letter. "I write to you this second letter, in both of which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken." Now, you notice that Peter's readers, those who read this letter originally, had pure minds. Not perfect minds, but they were pure. I mean, these folks were already on fire for the Lord. They were serving the Lord. In other words, Peter wasn't correcting them about anything. He was just reminding them of something they already knew. You know, a lot of the letters of the New Testament were corrective letters. Parts of Revelation, obviously 1 Corinthians was a corrective letter. Parts of the letters written to the Thessalonians, those were corrective. This isn't corrective. The minds and of the readers were already pure, on fire for the Lord, but they needed a reminder. And this is necessary from time to time. He said this earlier in chapter 1, verse 12 and 13. Peter said, "For this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth." You know, and Peter's not the only one. Paul said to the Philippians in Philippians 3:1, "For me to write the same things to you is not tedious, but for you it is safe." And then John wrote to his readers in 1 John 2:21, he said, "I have not written to you because you don't know the truth, but because you know it." And Jude wrote in Jude verse 5, "But I want to remind you." You need a reminder from time to time. Now, folks, you will never cap out on your knowledge of Scripture. You never will. You'll never reach a point where there's nothing else to learn. Which means what? Well, as long as you keep coming to the Word, there's always something there to learn. There's always something new for you. Nothing new under the sun does not mean there's nothing new for you. But the longer you study Scripture, and the longer you not only study God's word, but live God's word, well, the more you know and the more greatly will your knowledge expand. I had a Bible college professor who, when I had him, he was teaching the grandchildren of previous students he had. That's how long this man had been studying the word. I think he knew the word a little bit, don't you? And that being the case, the longer, the more you grow in Scripture, often you're going to come to the Word and see nothing you haven't seen before, quite often, be it in your quiet time alone with the Lord, or be it in church, or Sunday school, or in a Bible study. Quite often you're going to run into passages that you know quite well, and you don't actually see anything really new to you, okay? Well, why is that important? Well, because, folks, it's possible to have a pure mind, a sincere mind, a faithful mind, and at the same time still have a bad memory. You need the reminder. It's extremely important. And the truth is, have you noticed, we get accustomed to the truth. Brothers and sisters in this church, where you've been taught the word faithfully by many men and women over the years, in our from our pulpit, from our Sunday school, and this church has been blessed by Pastor Chuck and Pastor Dave and Pastor Riggs and a myriad of Sunday school teachers and godly men and women who teach the word. And that being the case, boy, we get accustomed to the truth. We get really accustomed to the truth. And that which becomes familiar often makes us complacent. We get comfortable. And when it comes to student drivers, everybody's all nervous around a student driver. Not me. New drivers are alert, attentive, and they don't want to die. And they are concentrating on everything, fearful of making a mistake. It's after we've been driving a while. Oh, I can text while going down the road at 60 miles an hour. And see, that's what happens when you're complacent. You're all too comfortable. And you start doing dumb things. And sometimes we're like that with the Word. We are way too comfortable with the Word of God sometimes and with the truth that comes from it. And we just let our guard down. Well, it's at that point, man, you need the truth that you're quite familiar with, to stir you up and get you going. And that's why Peter is giving a reminder. He's writing by way of a reminder, not giving anything new. And what Peter is about to remind us of has been taught in the past. Look at verse 2. He says that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by, number one, the holy prophets. Talking about those Old Testament prophets, Moses and all those guys. And of the commandment of us. Now he's talking about the New Testament apostles. Peter and Matthew and John, all those apostles, and Paul, and what they had to write down. And thirdly, he says, the Lord and Savior. He's talking about the Lord himself has taught these things. So this is nothing new. And a lot of it's not new to you as well. Now, what is he going to remind you of? Now, number two, what you need to be reminded of from time to time. Well, here's what he's going to talk about. He's going to spend a good portion of this third chapter discussing it. Let's sneak peek ahead to verse 10. And he says, but the day of the Lord will come. He's going to remind you about the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord. We're going to get more into detail on that, what the day of the Lord is and how that might differ a little bit from the day of God, which he also mentions in this chapter. But basically, the day of the Lord is this. It has to do with Christ's return when he comes back to this earth. That's the day of the Lord. It's Christ's return and everything that follows. And that return starts when he comes into the clouds and raptures his church into the air. And from that point on, we have the day of the Lord. Now, there's a warning here as we anticipate this day. As we look forward to it, take a look at verse 3. He says, knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days. The warning for you is this, Christian. The idea of the Lord's return causes people to scoff. Means to mock. Okay? Now, why would people mock at this? Well, because the day of the Lord means judgment. See, when he came the first time, He said he didn't come to judge the world. He came to save. But when he comes the second time, folks, Christ is coming to judge. It's not going to be a cute baby in a manger. It's going to be a warrior to cause battle and win that war. It's going to be a day of judgment. Well, people don't want to be judged for the things they do. They want to be free to do them. And the rest of verse 3 says, they are walking according to their own lusts. That's why they scoff. That's why they mock. They want to walk according to what they want to do and according to their lusts. And in an attempt to avoid judgment for doing that, they deny there will ever be a judgment. And so they mock, and they scoff, and they laugh, and they say, this isn't going to happen. And then what they do is they use human logic to denounce the return of the Lord. It says in verse 4 that they're saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. We're going to see next week that that logic is flawed. That's a lie. Things are not as they were from the beginning of creation. But that's the human logic that they're using. They're saying, hey, the guys who prophesied this, they fell asleep, they died, and the Lord hasn't come back yet, so he is not coming back. In other words, it's been so long, Jesus hasn't come yet, he's not coming at all. Well, that's like somebody Jack Bubb's age saying, haven't died yet, guess I'm not going to die at all. Well, just because something hasn't happened yet doesn't mean that it isn't coming. And the truth is, people aren't patient. Well, maybe not about death, but people do get impatient about promises made. You know, Moses, he was on the mountain, 40 days, right? And that was too long. And tired of waiting for him, the Israelites concluded he's never coming back. It says in Exodus 32:1, now when the people saw that Moses delayed coming down from the mountain, the people gathered together to Aaron and said to him, come, make us gods that shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we don't know what has become of him. He hasn't come back yet, so he's probably not coming at all. Now, did they believe that? Probably. What they really wanted to do was chase after their own lusts. That's exactly what they did. And they partied hard and lived as if there was no God. Because people are impatient, and that's what people are doing today. God's not coming back. Jesus isn't coming back. There is no day of judgment. And people say that because they want to live according to their lust, not according to the wonderful laws of the Lord that he offers through his son, Jesus Christ. Now, this warning about scoffers, when it was written here, it was this idea was a future event. People scoffing at the day of the Lord was something yet coming. But folks, that day has long since come. Peter wrote this 2,000 years ago, and people have been scoffing at the return of the Lord for a long time now, which means we're either in, or I hope, really close to those last days. Because people laugh at this. They'll make fun of it in the movies, make fun of it on television shows like Saturday Night Live. They'll laugh at you publicly and privately. And you know, it doesn't really help when some people keep predicting the return of the Lord only to fail in their prediction. That doesn't help either. People like Harold Camping. Harold Camping predicted the return of the Lord 3 times. Once in 94 and twice in 2011. Folks, even I was laughing at Harold Camping by the end. And it doesn't help when we got so-called Christians doing that and saying things that God said, you don't know. You don't know when the Lord's coming back. But people do that, and it makes us a laughing stock. And so they mock and they laugh. And they're completely off guard. Now, but you got to remember, the Lord's return was prophesied, his coming back was prophesied by the Old Testament prophets, by the Lord himself, and the New Testament apostles. Which means what? Scoffers mock not the teaching of men, but the teaching of God. And that is very dangerous. That is very dangerous. But again, this wasn't written as a warning to scoffers. If you are here and you're scoffing at the return of the Lord, you're in a very dangerous position, because we know that it is imminent, meaning it could be any time. Could be in the next 10,000 years, might be 20,000 years from now, I really doubt it. Could be in the next 5 minutes. Imminent means the Lord's return is upon us at any moment. We just don't know. It's nothing to mock, it's something to prepare for. I encourage you, stop mocking, start believing in Jesus Christ. But the warning here is really not written to the scoffer. Peter is really writing a direct warning to us believers, to be ready. Because Christian, you're in the minority. You really are. You're mocked, you're laughed at, you are not believed, and you are persecuted. Well, Christ said that would happen. He said in Matthew 10:22, you will be hated by all for my name's sake. And then he said in Matthew 5:11-12, in the Sermon on the Mount, he said, blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You know, they did persecute the prophets for preaching the truth of God's word. Noah was one of those. He experienced what it was like to be in the minority, more so than we ever will. And he experienced what it was like to be mocked and laughed at and disbelieved. But you know, it didn't make God's word any less true. So take this reminder that the day of the Lord is coming. Get ready for the mockery that's upon you, but let the truth of God's word stir you up. Christ is coming back. The word is true. Now, I'm going to tell you one thing that you probably didn't already know tonight. Peter told us that. He's going to tell you something that you're already aware of, but you need the reminder. And folks, this is a good reminder. The day of the Lord is something that the Christian looks forward to, invites. We're told to pray, thy kingdom come. Let's get on with this. Now, if that doesn't affect the way you face Monday, I don't know what will.